Welcome. It is day two of back to school here at New Bremen. I want to thank Kalp Pharmacy along with Speedway Lanes, Jackson Tractors, Minster Bank, and Nitro Roofing. So we're going to talk about K through six principals updates and transition with the outgoing principal, Diane Kramer, and the incoming principal, Diana Kramer. And I want to, first of all, welcome both of you. Good to have you.
Thank you.
So, you know, for you, Diane, you know, closing out the career and retiring, you know, how long, you know, were you principal here? How long was the education career overall?
So right now I'm in my 32nd year total. I was in Pandora Gilboa Schools for 5 years and then 11 years with Salina City Schools. And this is my 16th year as elementary principal here at New Bremen.
All right. And so you just decided it was time to call it a career, huh?
Yes, it was. After 32 years, I felt like I made an impact on this district, and I'm proud of the accomplishments we've made and the relationships that have been developed. And I've got two young grandchildren now, and I think it's just time to start another chapter.
Yeah. In other words, as they get older and get into more activities, you'll have time to spend with them and see them. Can't always do that being a principal, right?
Yes, you're exactly right. I think it's just time for a shift and time to turn this over to someone else.
And that someone else is Mrs. Kramer. And you've known her a long time, or you've known each other a long time, right?
We have.
Yes, we hired Diana. How many years ago? Is at least 12 years ago, I think. And even then, there was a little confusion. Another Diana Kramer.
So the joke in school is she's the short one, I'm the tall one. She is the older one, I'm the younger one. The little kids, they really get into that. The play on Mrs. Kramer.
I can imagine, yes. Well, you got to behave or you could be in trouble with either Mrs. Kramer.
That's exactly
right.
That's
how that goes, right?
Yep.
For you, can you share with us a bit about your background? You know, certainly not just as a teacher, but also a coach. And what led you to decide you wanted to be a principal?
So this is my 20th year of education. I taught third grade at St. Henry for 9 years. And this is my 11th year at New Bremen teaching second grade. When I was in college, I had great professors and I was convinced to continue my education after earning my bachelor's degree. And I ended up getting my administrative, license back in 2007. And I just waited for the right time. And I think that now is the right time. I've had a great mentor. I really looked up to Diane Kramer. She's done a great job of keeping this school great. And getting it to the top, and now she's handing the baton to me, and I look forward to it. And staying at the top is going to be challenging and difficult, and I have a lot to learn, but I know with the supports around me and this great community that we're going to keep going in the right direction.
Well, so when you look forward to being a principal, what do you think will be the difference between, you know, when you were a teacher and when you were a principal? Because it'll take you out of the classroom, right?
Right. As a teacher, you're impacting your individual class, maybe the whole grade level. And as a principal, you have a little bigger impact. Your ripple effect is a little bigger. And I look forward to that.
Excellent. And so for you, do you feel, you know, prepared? I know you've been preparing. We're almost done with this school year. Are you ready to go in the fall?
There's a lot to learn. And I look forward to working with Diane very closely over the summer months. And in August and September, when she'll still be around, and being like a sponge and taking it all in and keeping New Bremen great.
Excellent.
And yes. So one advantage I think we have is that I will be back next fall for a few weeks into September. So that'll be a great time for Diana and I to continue to work together as we make this transition. I think it's just going to help with the smoothness.
Excellent. And so, you know, for you, all those years of teaching second grade, you know, share with us what that was like, because that does seem like that'd be a fun grade to teach.
Second grade is an awesome grade. The kids love coming to school yet. They love their teacher. They love learning. And their smiles every single day make it worth it. And I think that just speaks to the whole elementary school. Everybody in K through six, they wake up and they want to come here because it is great. And I can even say that about the high schoolers too. They may say they don't want to come to school sometimes or tell their parents that, but I know deep down that they love seeing their friends, they love seeing their teachers, and it's all about the relationships that are built here that make New Bremen so great.
That's for sure. And you know, also getting them ready, you know, to go into the next building, right? I mean, that's something, in theory, it sounds like it'd be a lot of fun, right? You're in the big school now, mm-hmm. but I can imagine that's also a little scary sometimes for them.
I think that every year when students move on to the next grade, there may be some fear, but they also know that they're in it together with the classmates that they've had for you know, the last couple years. So they know the teachers, they see the faces, and the relationships just continue to grow deeper and deeper.
And share with us again, remind people, how long have you been teaching in New Bremen again?
This is my 11th year.
11th year. So you've been able to obviously see some of those students that were second graders now are, you know, seniors or even graduated,
yep.
Right? Do they ever, you know, report back to you, like, this is what I'm doing, or how are you? Or
they
you
do.
See them in public, you know?
They do. I actually just talked to one of my former players or students on the phone just a little bit ago during my lunch period. And it's neat building those relationships, because I think that Diane would agree that the reason that we go into this is to make a difference in not only kids' lives, but parents' lives, families' lives. And that's why we're here. And we all wear New Bremen across our chest, and we all have one common thing in common.
That, like we were mentioning yesterday, it's the Cardinal Way.
Right? It is the Cardinal
Way. People can look that up if they want to know all that that entails.
Absolutely.
And that's fantastic. So when you look back on your career, right, in principal, you know, maybe talk about some of the things you've been able to see and enjoy, a lot of transitions, buildings, et cetera. Right?
Sure. Definitely one of the biggest accomplishments was transitioning from the old building into the new building six years ago. That was a huge team effort to get to that point. And just seeing the students in this environment being able to blossom here with the modern building, the technology, all the choices and options we have here, that's definitely been one of the biggest changes. Also seeing the change in students and our focus. We've really worked hard on literacy, improving literacy. And I think that all of that hard work has definitely paid off. I also am very proud of the relationships with the teachers. I've always really focused on supporting the staff, supporting the teachers. By doing that, then they in turn are going to be the best teachers they can be, and they're going to be the best for their students.
Oh, right. And also, you know, you talk about changes in technology, which either one of you can talk about that, right? How different it is now as to maybe when you started teaching or even remember school yourself.
You know, one of the things that I've noticed is starting out my career, you know, we didn't have as much technology. It was, you know, a lot of paper pencil. And then the pendulum is switching to technology. And honestly, technology is great, but it's not the be-all, end-all. And I almost feel like we're seeing the shift back a little bit the other way, looking at more pencil, paper, cursive, things like that. So I think with everything in education, the pendulum always shifts, and it also is about balance and knowing what is right for our students here at New Bremen.
That's for sure. And skills you just might want to keep, right? You keep them on hand.
Exactly.
So to speak, right? Also, when you look back, for either one of you, you know, the elementary age, a lot of energy, a lot of growing up still to do, and there might be some time they could maybe possibly end up in the principal's office. And if that's the case, that's an opportunity, isn't it? Sit down with them, talk to them, get to know them, see what's going on, you know?
Absolutely. Kids are kids, and everybody's going to make a mistake. Going to the principal's office is not a bad thing. I know kids visit Diane all the time with birthday treats or just to say hi. So having that relationship is really, really important. I feel like I know most of the kids, and I know that Mrs. Diane knows most of the kids also. And letting kids know it's okay to make a mistake, but sitting down and talking about it and learning from it is absolutely the key.
It is. And I know people will find this very hard to believe, but growing up, I was actually in the principal's office a few times. I know that's hard to, you know, not me, right? But after a while, though, I mean, you didn't want to let your principal down, right? Mm-hmm. You like your principal, you respect him or her, and you want to do better for that reason alone.
Actually, one of my students, when they found out I was going to be the principal, they told me that they wanted to get sent to the principal and they were going to cause trouble because they were going to miss me. And I let them know that they didn't need to cause trouble in order to see me, that they could still come see me at any time.
That is something that we should point that out. You are allowed to go see the principal. You don't have to be in trouble. Just say hi.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, it's definitely a little less intimidating than I think it used to be, mm-hmm. for sure.
Also, you know, again, part of being the principal, certainly working with staff, right, mentoring teachers, I'm sure you can tell a story or two about that.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. You know, when I look at our staff right now, I was part of hiring at least 3/4 of them. And just seeing how they've grown, how they've developed as teachers, how they've developed their relationship with the rest of the staff and with the students and the different training and how they've advanced themselves, it's been really great to see over the years.
And I think Diane's done a great job of turning teachers into leaders also. While she's the leader of our building, she's also created more leaders And that's a sign of a really good leader. When one leader can make many leaders in the building instead of followers, she's creating more leaders, which in turn, those leaders in the classroom are creating leaders as students. And it's a really, really cool ripple effect to see.
All right. And share with us in our remaining moments, Diana, I know, again, we're looking to wrap up the school year pretty soon. It's late April already. But, you know, talk to us again about, you know, when the volleyball season will come around again, when the practices start and when you start thinking about that. I'm sure you are already, right?
So one thing that's very important is that most people know me as a volleyball coach. I have many, many different faces and wear many different hats. And I do love coaching because you get to keep developing those relationships. And one time I was asked when I was talking at a state coaches clinic if I recruited, and I said, absolutely, I recruit every day in the hallways of New Bremen Elementary School. But yeah, I started thinking about next season probably about 3 or 4 years ago. People laugh at that, but I'm visionary and the girls work hard, and now this program's in a really good place. I have great coaches, great support. Diane's a great support. Everybody just supports so well. And it's not just volleyball. It's the arts. It's the music programs. And it's neat to see kids just take off and do what they love. And when you're doing that and you're supporting your classmates and your peers, really, really good things happen.
You know, we were talking yesterday about, you know, arts and especially the music, you know, the choir and the band, how often they go on to state level competition or presentation. You don't want to take it for granted, but you also do kind of get used to it because that just seems to happen every year.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of, I know whenever in 2017, after we won our first state title, and I was the grand marshal, the volleyball team carried a sign that said, who's next? And a lot of people look at that and they think, who's next? Like, who's the next state champion? But it's actually, who's the next leader? Who's the next person that's going to get a superior ranking in band? Who's the next person in the FFA that's going to do something great? And if you have that kind of mentality, really good things are going to happen.
That's right.
Yes, I agree completely. And I'm glad to say that who's next, at least for this position, is Diana Kramer.
Excellent. And we wish you a lot of luck. And, you know, you talked about you're going to spend more time with your grandchildren. I'm sure you have some other plans, too, in retirement besides that. Right? Can do any traveling or what you got in mind?
Definitely. Definitely want to do some traveling. I think I probably will be back maybe to do some subbing in the beginning, looking at some other part-time opportunities within the education field. So I'm definitely not leaving education altogether.
And I still have her cell phone number, so I can call her at any time, and I know she'll answer.
And you will.
Absolutely.
You'll be calling her. Hey, listen, thank you again, both of you, for being here. It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Back to school at New Bremen has resumed. Thank you to Kalp Pharmacy, Speedway Lanes, and Jackson Tractors among our sponsors. So we're going to switch gears and talk boys basketball and boys golf with Corey Stevens. And Corey, good to see you. Thanks for coming.
Yep, thanks for having me on.
Share with us, if you would please, your background, where you came from originally, and what got you into education.
Well, I'm originally from Lima. I graduated from Lima Bath. After high school, I went to college, ended up going to Bluffton University. Played baseball there, and then got into teaching. I think at a young age, always knew I wanted to be in education, based on some of the teachers I had in my past type deal. So that's just the route I went. After graduating college, I ended up teaching and coaching at Lima Perry for 3 years before coming to New Bremen, and now I believe, is it 12th year, 11th year here?
Something like right?
Yeah.
They do tend to kind of blur together after so long, right?
Yep.
What made you pick New Bremen?
Well, my wife's from Coldwater. So when we came down here, I was starting a family. We were expecting our first child. So it's one of those, we kind of wanted to be close to her parents, but also close to my parents. So New Bremen came open. It was a great opportunity. So, you know, we moved here and now been here ever since.
Excellent. So, you know, when we talk about, you know, boys basketball, boys golf, you know, maybe talk about, remind the listeners what you do in that regard and what drew you to those two sports.
So I'm the head coach for boys basketball. Just finished year 7. So I've been here for 7 years as the head coach. Started as the freshman coach here, then went to JV and now, you know, the varsity coach. That brought me here. And then also boys golf, this is starting year 2 of the head coach for that. So they're both sports I've enjoyed, you know, especially now with being a little bit older, can go out and golf to compete, you know, still competing. So that kind of drew me to that. And it's something that, you know, I could do with my my younger kids as well.
I was going to say, after, yeah, once you get to be an adult, you know, you, the basketball court can be a little exhausting, right?
Yeah.
If you try to play, right?
The running, yeah. Different type of conditioning.
Let's hear, you know, something about, you know, boys basketball. Remind people, you guys have, you know, you've had success over that time, first of all, right?
Yeah, we've had some good teams, you know, good players come through here, and, you know, they set the standard and, you know, the competing. Every game, whether it's league or not, you know, that's kind of been what we kind of hang our hat on. And lately it's been more so on the defensive end, you know, defensively the past 2 years, we've really taken a turn and been known for our defense. So that's something that we kind of stress and the kids embraced.
True. And as many people know, you know, on a Friday night or whenever, at the Nest, as they call it here, not always the easiest place for opposing teams, is it, right?
No. And that's what it's been great, you know, playing at home, especially I think our student body has been really, really good. And, you know, our pep band. And that's really fun to play in front of, and it gets the kids really excited.
Now, that being said, I'm also sure sometimes when you're playing on the road, it probably feels good to silence a crowd, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's always the goal. You know, we always talk about, you know, we want to throw the first punch. And in that case, it's we want to make them call the first timeout because of our run. So that kind of silences the crowd at times.
That it does. You know, and for basketball, you know, remind people too, when the season truly starts, you know, when you start doing some practices and start thinking about the year to come.
Well, we're already thinking about the year right now. You know, June is kind of our busy month. We get 13 days of contact. So we got a couple shootouts planned in June. I think we got two shootouts and we got a scrimmage. So we got that planned. Then we're working on the schedule for the upcoming season to kind of get that put together. And then, yeah, officially, I think we could start next year on November 30th, you know, first game. But that's all depending on football. You know, you have to work with that as well. So that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, but you obviously, I mean, all basketball coaches will tell you that they're going to share some players with the football team. And you kind of want that, right? You want the kids to play as many sports as they can.
Yeah, competing and, you know, bringing that winning success, you know, winning breeds winning type deal. And, you know, that's kind of what we want our guys to do. We want them to play as much as possible, you know, go out and compete in anything.
Let's also talk about the sport of golf. Remind people, too, kind of what the calendar for that looks like and how the team's doing.
Well, golf starts a lot earlier. I mean, we'll be done. A lot of our matches are in August, but we can start the last week of July usually is when we can start. So we have 15 players signed up this year to golf, so that's great. And just kind of compete, you know. Golf season goes fast, and it's a lot of, you know, doing stuff on their own outside the season as well. A lot of our guys have memberships, you know, to different courses, so they play, and then trying to work on eliminating some strokes with the short game, you know, that's going to cut your score down.
Have you seen where players have made that kind of dramatic improvement where you start to see them do just that?
Yeah, we've had a lot of guys. I mean, Lucas Lawrence went to districts last year for us, and it was great to see him have the success, and he's back this year, so hopefully we can build on that. But we kind of talk with me and Coach Traza, eliminating three putts, you know, just stick to two putts. You know, if we count up all the three putts, if you do that three times, it's three putts or three strokes you gave away type deal. So
yeah that's probably frustrating at the end of a game when you realize that one like extra stroke is why you didn't win, right?
Right. Yeah.
It can happen.
Yep.
And also even in like the off season when it gets cold around here. Now I know there are some people that, I mean, that there'll be snow flurries and they'll be out there playing because some people are hardcore. But does it help to use some of the golf simulators or anything like that?
Yeah, we actually have a launch monitor that we have in the CBC. So starting in May, we'll have them in there if they want to use that. With, you know, being the basketball coach and also the golf coach, we lift 3 days a week. So after lifting on two of the days, I have the CBC opened up that the students, student athletes can go, you know, use our simulator to kind of work on their swing as well.
For you personally, I take it you still play, right, when you can?
I try, yes.
That, as you said, that's a sport you can keep playing, right? And for a lot of people, it's their hobby, it's their leisure. Imagine there's a lot of relaxation to it, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing is you can golf for the rest of your life, you know, and that's what I try to tell some of these guys, especially if they're not doing anything in the fall. Why don't you just try golf? It's not going to hurt you. If all else fails, it might give you a lifelong hobby type deal.
For you personally, do you watch a lot of PGA sometimes on TV? Or
at times, watching TV is very tough with my personal life with four kids and, you know, all their activities. But when I can catch stuff like the Masters, you know, I'll turn it on. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, I remember those days where you had like the nicest TV you can find, but it you know, it usually would play Thomas the Train for much of the day, right?
Correct. Yeah. And there's some shows that I'm like, if we don't, you know, hear that theme song again, I'm okay.
I understand that one totally. You'll get there though.
Yeah.
You'll get
there.
You know, also for basketball, similar, do you have any certain teams you enjoy following yourself?
I'm a big Michigan fan. So,
It was a fun run
they had in the tournament, you know, and it goes back to even when you had, you know, John Beilein just watching his teams and all that. So I enjoyed Michigan, you know, following them. And then also, you know, some of the smaller mid-majors that, you know, kind of watch on ESPN Plus, just kind of the different philosophies they have and the different styles and just, hey, just turn it on and just see something new.
You know what's interesting? I when you got to the Final Four, I thought Michigan, Arizona would be a toss-up and the winner would romp in the championship game, and I had that quite backwards.
Yes. Well, it doesn't help when you, what were they, 1-13 from the three or something I think like that in the first half, and it's like...
And you had the other team that said, oh, if we have, you know, 30 seconds to shoot, we're going to hold the ball for 20 seconds before we even try. They slow the game down. Right.
Slow it. Sometimes the best offense is a good defense type deal, and that's what they kind of did at
that's
time.
That's for sure. Well, hopefully we don't have to wait 37 years again for a time. I don't know. I don't think so. Not this time around. So, and an interesting thing, I like asking coaches all of this. When you're watching basketball, whether it's college, whether it's NBA, because you're a coach, do you tend to watch the game differently than maybe we would?
Yeah, you try to, you know, you might not necessarily always watch the ball, but kind of watch what they're doing off the ball, how they're, you know, going with off-ball screens type deal. Are they, you know, hard hedge? Are they ghosting screens type deal? So, yeah.
I know sometimes some of the plays that they run are obviously spectacular. You think of like an alley-oop or a no-look pass. When those go wrong, though, it's pretty bad, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one of those that looks great on paper, but it still has, they have to execute it type deal. And then when it works, you're the greatest. When it doesn't, it's like, man, what could we have done different?
You almost wish, well, I hope nobody saw that. Well, the game's on TV, so they probably saw it.
Yeah.
Excellent. You know, and when not coaching, you know, share with us, you know, what you do here in the school district.
So I'm a sixth grade math teacher here. So I teach sixth grade math, and I teach a grade accelerated seventh grade math class to sixth graders as well. So, we're pretty much math.
Important subject, right? And when you get them in that particular grade and you're teaching them math, what, you know, for those who, you know, for them math a long time ago, they were in school, what are you working on at that level these days?
So a lot of times it's the intro to algebra, you know, ratios, rates, and right now we're reviewing expressions and equations type deal and with the number system as well. So that's kind of what we're working on now.
Do you find kids do get excited about math once they can kind of figure it out?
Yeah, and I try to connect as much as possible to the, you know, the real life situations. And this year, you know, in the one class, we did a college basketball math project where the kids were assigned to school in the MAC or the Horizon League. We started by writing them letters to their coach, wishing them good luck. And it was neat seeing some of the kids get stuff back from the coaches and got tickets to the games. The one student was a ball boy at a game, so that was neat. And then we tied that into math with looking at their stats, so looking at statistics based on that team.
True. It's interesting. Sometimes I remembered growing up and saying I was not a fan of math, but I could always tell you certain players' batting average and why are they letting this guy pitch when his percentage against right-handed hitters is so bad. Well, there's some math for you right there.
Oh, well, and that's the big thing with sports. I try to tell them math's everywhere with sports, and you just try to play the numbers, you know, especially, you know, I tell them at the end of games, you know, basketball-wise, you have better free throw shooters, you have – some that aren't don't shoot as well. So it's one of those trying to figure out who to foul.
Right.
Who do we want having the ball? Who do we want to do offense, defense? And sometimes that has to do with free throws. Sometimes that has to do with, you know, just ball security. Sometimes that has to do with, you know, we need an extra rebound. They're great at rebounding. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of numbers.
So as you talked about, like, who do you want to foul? I remember the old hack a Shaq strategy that was popular so years ago because he was not known as a great free throw shooter.
Yeah. And it's one of those, at the end of the games, it's some of the assistant coaches, it's their job. Who do we got to foul?
Yes.
And they're yelling it out, so, and the players do know that.
And you might tell them, stay away from number 24 over there. He's good. Don't foul him.
Don't foul him.
And I'm sure there are also coaches who will deliberately try to get the ball in that shooter's hands, right, because they want him fouled.
Yeah, you want your best free throw shooter to the line at the end of the game, you know, so you want the ball in their hands. So,
it's a fun game in that.
sense. Yeah, it's a lot of strategy with it. You know, like when do you foul, especially now with the, you know, the foul limit in the high school that it's no longer one and one. Five fouls is the two-shot bonus. So how early do you start fouling? Do you just play it out? Do you try to get a stop? Yeah.
That's for sure. Well, listen, Corey, we want to thank you for coming. A real pleasure to catch up with you and find out what's happening with both golf, basketball, and even we threw in some math.
We threw in math, yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yep, hey, thank you.
So we're back to school here at New Bremen. I'm Kevin Sandler, your host. A special thank you going out to 17 West, also the Goods, the Lachman Theater, Elmwood Assisted Living. Thank you to the Minster Bank and Speedway Lanes. We've all been there before, right? Of course, we've been to Speedway Lanes. So we are going to switch gears, and we've got students, and in a few moments we'll meet teachers, which will include Janelle Rinderly and Colleen Kitzmiller. But we're going to talk about the yearbook, and the students are freshmen, as I understand. So share with us, what's your name?
I am Josie Saylor.
Josie, and you are?
I'm Maddie Tangeman.
Maddie, so let's start by talking to the two of you. What made you decide to get involved with the yearbook?
Well, I've always had this, like, creative outlet in my life. Like, my dad is always, like, he likes art and stuff. So I just decided it seems like a cool thing, write about stories and just be involved in my school.
All right.
I was in the newspaper, like, the junior high newspaper when I was in 7th and 8th grade, and I just thought that, like, how much fun that was, and to continue that all throughout high school would be really fun as well.
Do you have a certain, like, a topic or a theme for the yearbook?
Yeah, it's actually magazine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We try to incorporate, like, the magazine assets into, like, what the yearbook is going to look like this year.
All right. Sounds like a challenge, but I'm sure you're doing fine. And have you made a lot of progress on it? After all, it is already April, right?
Yeah. We actually have gotten through a lot of the sports pages, and we're almost done with the graduation pages.
Yeah. We started the beginning of the year with, like, obviously the fall, spring, winter, all those kind of sports, but we tried to get, like, the portrait pages and all the class pages down before Christmas.
Excellent, excellent. So I'm sure for you it's gone well, or do you maybe hope to continue with it, like, next year or whatever? Okay, good. You're sold on the concept, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
For both of you, you know, as freshmen and soon to be sophomore, right? Have you thought about what you might want to do for a career someday?
Actually, yes. I would like to be an interior designer, which is kind of cool, thinking, like, yearbook kind of has, like, that techie kind of side of it, especially with, like, designing and all that. So when I, like, become an interior designer, it could help me in my life.
How about for you?
I don't really know yet, but I think that yearbook could play a big role in what I end up doing in life.
Graphic arts, right, and things like that. Okay. So here's a question for you. The shirt you're wearing, have you been to Cozumel?
I have.
Isn't it nice there?
It is. Yeah. I went to a cruise there one time, and I just, I don't know, stopped by.
What, did you do anything while you were there? We went on a sub and actually saw a shark.
Oh, yeah. We went... scuba diving? What's that called? Snorkeling.
Yes, I remember. I couldn't talk her into doing that, but that's a lot of fun. Nice, nice island, isn't it?
Yes.
That's outstanding. Thank you. Good luck to the two of you. We're going to switch over and get our other two students to come on. After all, we like to be equal opportunity for that, so we're going to give them a chance to come on and share with us their story and their, perspective on the yearbook. So share with us. What's your name?
Roxy Wilker.
Okay.
Elizabeth Pohl.
So let's start by talking about why you decided to get into yearbook, and did you know some of the people that were going to be on there with you?
Yeah, I knew the people that were going to be on there, and I like taking photos and putting them in a template and laying everything out.
And for you?
Last year, Miss Rinderly, like, talked to us about it, and I thought it would be, like, a really fun class, so that's why.
What, was she right? Is it fun? Okay. Well, she's right here, so I figured you'd probably say yes, but that's okay. So from your perspective, what have you done with it as far as, your role in developing the yearbook?
So far I've done, since we divided up our pages so it would make it equally, I've done a lot of pages, taken pictures, a lot of that type of stuff.
That's pretty neat. And also, I'm sure I'm trying to figure out which pictures to use, right? Because these days, you know, in the olden days when I went to school, we still used film and you had to be kind of careful, but not really a limit now on how many you can pick from. Pretty neat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's hear about, your contribution on the yearbook.
I've done portrait pages for a couple grades, and I've taken sports pictures. pictures for basketball, girls, boys, 7th and 8th grade, and high school. And I've put that in a template and made a couple pages out of that. And then I have the elementary does a DIY day at the end of the year, so then that would be another page that I'm waiting until that happens to take pictures for.
Well, right. About how many pages do you think the yearbook might be?
About like 176 pages.
Not bad. Yeah. Not bad. Little summary of the year and, yeah. and what it was. And you know, for you, have you thought about perhaps what you'd like to do someday for a career?
I want to do probably something in the medical field, which is kind of with probably like a nurse or a labor and delivery nurse or something in that area.
Cool. What made you pick that?
Well, I work at Elmwood, and I just, like, have been experience with nursing and stuff like that, and I just have enjoyed it a lot. So.
All right. How about for you?
For me, I think I want to be a physical therapist, which yearbook would definitely help me since it, teaches me how to, like, stay on time and keep organized. So.
Okay. What made you pick physical therapy?
I just think I used to do physical therapy, and I thought it was a really cool, like, career option.
Excellent. Good for you. So let's have a moment here and get your teachers on and, you know, kind of hear their perspective on this. And so, you know, beginning with, we're going to give everybody a chance to kind of settle in here with our teachers as we have Janelle Rinderly, who is you. And then yep. we also, in addition to that, we have Colleen Kitzmiller. So first of all, you share with us, you know, your own background, where you came from and what got you into education.
Sure. I live in St. Henry and I'm an intervention specialist. I've been with 7th and 8th graders now for, this is my 12th year. I got into yearbook and got into yearbook specifically because we had gotten to the end of about 2 years ago. My boss had said, hey, we need someone else to take over yearbook. While I've done intervention and a lot of other things in my teaching career, I thought, I don't know a whole lot about graphic design. I don't know how to take photos, but sure, let's take on the challenge and we'll see what happens. And it's been a wonderful experience.
That's a good thing in life, isn't it? Sometimes you think, well, I really don't know anything about this, but let's try.
Right.
You know, see how it goes. And for you, share with us a bit about your background.
Yes. So my name is Colleen Kitzmiller. I live in Fort Laramie, and I started teaching English because it happened to be my best subject, but I definitely wanted more of that art outlet. So yearbook has been a great way to kind of incorporate that a little bit. And I feel like Janelle and I do a great job of sharing the business and then the design side of it pretty evenly.
All right. And maybe to also talk about for students, what kind of a time commitment in general are we talking about to put the yearbook together?
Sure. So I always tell students, you know, if you plan to sign up for yearbook, make sure you want to come in and work every single day because it is so much work. You know, we have to go out and we have to get ads from local businesses to make sure that our customers, you know, our families and community members can afford the book. We have to really just go out, collect all that information on the business side. And then on the design side, you know, we have to collect all of those photos and we have to organize. We have to keep spreadsheets of everything. It really is a time commitment. I mean, 176 pages with designs, stories. It's a lot of work. But our group this year has come in and worked very hard every single day, and we appreciate that.
How much is a yearbook these days?
There's two prices. So if you buy it before the first of the year, it's $55. If you buy it after the first of the year, then the price goes up to $60.
You know, that's not bad, really, when you think about it, for what you're getting and all the work that went into it. You know, I was wondering if you were going to hit triple digits on the price. So 60 is pretty good.
Yes, and I think our students do a wonderful job at getting ads to make it affordable for everybody.
Also, and that's a big thing. It's fun sometimes when you go back and look at really old yearbooks, and sometimes you think, I remember that store, right? Because times change.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
But also wanted to add that while I know you still sell a physical book, is there a version for people that would want to see it online or have a backup, or you don't really do that?
We don't do that here. I think that New Bremen, we keep things very traditional. Jostens, that may be an option, but we've never looked into that.
Understandable. You know, that mm-hmm. Sometimes something works the way it works, and you don't need to mess that up, right?
Right.
Outstanding. I want to thank all of you for coming, especially your students. I think they're going to go on and do really good things. What do you think? They got some ambitious career ideas there.
Absolutely.
Right. And I think yearbook is one of those classes where they learn so many interpersonal skills. You know, they have to go out and interview so many different types of people. You know, they have to go out and take those pictures and really just, you know, talk to all the different teachers and maybe people that at first they're kind of scared of or intimidated by. But by the end of the year, we just see our kids grow so much. And I think that those interpersonal skills will follow them through high school and hopefully post-graduation into their career.
Sometimes you find out, you really love to do it. Once you start talking to people and you realize nothing bad happened and you're able to do it, you want to do it some more.
Right, yeah.
It might have been what happened to me. I don't know. But but what's neat also is I would also like to add how well they did today. You know, I know they were a little nervous, but they were great, I thought.
We have a wonderful group. We want all of them to come back, but that doesn't always happen. But we always tell them, hey, if you can't come back next year, just remember we're still here in a couple years, so they can come back anytime.
Yeah, and tell your friends.
Absolutely.
Help you replace the staff. So thank you so much, all of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
So we're back to school at New Bremen. We're at the high school today. I am Kevin Sandler, your host. A special thank you going out to Minster Bank, Jackson Tractors, along with Kalp Pharmacy, and also the New Bremen Bicycle Museum. So we are going to switch gears now and talk band activities, new uniforms, the Disney trip as Mr. Monath is here. And first of all, good to see you. Thanks for coming.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
First year for you, right?
Yep. First year here in New Bremen. I was in Tip City for the last 10 years.
Oh, right. So share with us, if you would, your background, where you came from originally, and what got you into education.
Sure. So I'm originally from Amherst, Ohio, which is up in between Cleveland and Cedar Point. I did 4 years of community college up there in Cleveland, and then I was at Wright State for 6 years. I don't remember when I knew I wanted to become a band director, but it's I think teaching's always been sort of my vocation instead of my profession, and I think music and band is just sort of the vehicle, really, to teach the, you know, kids how to be good human beings. Music's like the vehicle, and it's a joy. I mean, I get to, you know, it's fun. It's a lot more fun than math, I think, and history, but don't tell those teachers I said that, you know. My wife is originally from St. Henry, and that's kind of how we got back to this area. We just had our fourth kid in November.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And, we always said if we were going to leave TIP, we were going to come back home to this area.
How did you two meet? Did you meet in school?
We met at Wright State, in music school, and we met. She was a vocal performance major and education major, and she put the ed degree on hold and went and got her OT degree. In Indiana, and came back, and we had stayed together, and she went and finished her ed degree. She's now a choir teacher down off of 70 in Green, and
excellent.
Yeah.
So we look at, first of all, how did the first year go?
It's been great. It's been really good. I like it here a lot. It's a very supportive staff and administration. The students are really great. There's a lot of my work's been pretty cut out for me. The New Bremen band program, I've known about it all my time at TIP. The old director, Andy Clark, was a judge, so I kind of knew him as that and the guy who used to be at New Bremen. And he had sort of made a powerhouse here. And it's just sort of unfortunately been a rotating door of directors. So I'm looking to stay here and kind of build it back again. I forgot where I was going with that.
No, and that's quite all right. Yeah. And for you, I'm sure you encourage kids, you know, pick up an instrument. It doesn't matter necessarily which one, but, see which one fits you. And in some cases, I'm sure even the band director can say, you know, if you can learn this instrument, that's really what we need in this band.
100%. And that's a big part of the rebuilding is like, hey, were you used to be in band? Well, why aren't you now? And that whole... those kinds of conversations and building relationships with the kids and the coaches and teachers so that, you know, everybody can do all of the things. And we don't have to just have volleyball players who don't do band or choir. We can have volleyball players who do band and choir. So, in fact, our volleyball coach came into the band room a couple weeks ago and picked up my flute, and I said, here's the song. We're just learning. And she went, okay, let me remember. And she played the first few measures with the kids, and it was kind of an eye-opening experience for the kids, which was great. So
that's for sure. Yes. A lot of times, people don't know. They don't realize somebody might be hiding some musical talent there,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
We talk about, the band activities and what you get, through the year. I mean, there's so many reasons and times and places you might see the band playing, right?
Uh-huh, absolutely. We do I'm still kind of learning the schedule. The first year. But in making next year's calendar, we do the Bremen Fest Parade, the Oktoberfest Parade down in Minster, and then we have our Cider Time Parade here in New Bremen. That's sort of the kickoff to Trick or Treat. Every varsity football games, there's been talk of trying to get us at a couple volleyball games next year. And then once football is over, we kind of switch gears into concert band season, and we perform in the Ohio Music Education Association for their large group contest. There's a district version, which ours unfortunately got canceled this year because of wind damage to Van Wert's auditorium, which was kind of crazy. We were getting on about to get on the buses, and it was like, hey, never mind, everybody stay home.
Yes.
It was a crazy day. But that gave us sort of a free ride into state contest, which we have coming up on May 2nd. So we're kind of gung-ho getting ready for that, as well as our Christmas concert that we do right before Christmas break. We'll play at graduation. We play at a Memorial Day ceremony and solo and ensemble, which is sort of more individual for the kids. And then this year we had the Disney trip, which was a really great time. Just walking into a new job and, oh, by the way, you're going to Disney in the spring, which was fine. I actually had a Disney trip planned at my old school. So going with the choir was unique. I haven't done that before, but it was a great time. The kids had a great time. We had a really great group of chaperones and parents come with us, and
And maybe share with us too what you did exactly on this trip, because I understand there was involvement with a studio, but there was also some fun times where you were able to obviously see some of the attractions.
So we took a bus. I think we left New Bremen around noon on Saturday.
Saturday, yes.
Yeah, got there. Sunday, we went straight to Universal, Hollywood, or Universal Studios and their amusement park. The next day was the Magic Kingdom, and that's where the band had our workshop. So we basically went to a different location on the Disney campus and worked with a published arranger who works for Disney. And it was basically like a sight reading clinic. They took us into a big soundstage. Put headphones on us, and we sight read a bunch of like Disney themes and songs, and then they actually set it to a movie clip, like a little snippets of Tarzan is what we got to do, which was a lot of fun. And honestly, I've done Disney trips in the past with schools, and we've always ever done parades, and it's hot in Orlando in a marching band uniform, and you kind of have to put your concert contest preparation on hold to get ready for the parade and do all that stuff. This was much more educational, working towards state, which was really great. It was a good experience. The clinician was great. So we all had a good time. Hit a couple other parks, Epcot, sure. Animal Kingdom, and Disney Hollywood Studios. And the choir, I think, did a similar kind of a recording.
I think you're right. Yeah, well, yeah. I had heard about one of the exhibits I saw, which was your 3D point of view voyage on the Millennium Falcon. It's a fun one to see.
Oh, so. Yeah. Yeah, that the star. This is my first time riding anything on a Disney trip. Honestly, the years past have just been director and just kind of wandered around and people watched, made sure kids were all alive. But this year, I had a couple awesome dads who were like, "Why don't you come hang out with us?" And that was the Star Wars day. So
there you go.
Those were rides were.
And you know, I don't mind saying too. When it comes to Star Wars, I don't know about you. What the first thing that I think of is the music.
Oh yeah,
it made it what it is.
Absolutely. Yes.
You got to put that out there.
Yeah, so, agreed.
In addition, to what we've been talking about, new uniform, that's kind of a big thing, right?
Yeah, it is a huge thing. So our uniforms are at least 20 years old. They are so old that they're still dry clean only. And people in the band world will know that means really, really old. All the new stuff, you can machine wash it and all of that. So I set about to design and make the next marching band uniform. I actually have a prototype down in the room that we're going to debut on at our high school concert on May 14th. I'm going to put a, I have to pick the kid, but I'm going to put a kid in it and show it on stage. And the plan is to get those for the fall of 2027.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's obviously some planning involved in that. I don't even, I can't, I mean, first of all, you don't just go on Amazon and order some band uniforms. No. They're going to be unique, right? They're, they're going to be New Bremen. So the first thing you're thinking of is getting that that design, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a company I've worked with before out of Miamisburg called Fred J. Miller. And they make marching band uniforms and indoor drumline uniforms and color guard uniforms. And they've been around for a long, long time. And actually, my old program, I last February picked up that school's new uniform that I had designed and or helped design and made happen. So it was kind of neat to get to do that 2 years in a row. But yeah, as a whole process, you work with a designer and they send you with some samples and ideas. It's a whole questionnaire, but yeah, it's very New Bremen. It's even got our Cardinal logo on the chest and it'll be a new look, but I think one that the community and the everybody will be really excited about.
True, and just so people understand, what kind of money are you talking about to get new uniforms?
So you kind of have to order more than you have in the band currently, and it also depends on what other stuff you get. If you need new hat boxes or new raincoats or new garment bags, all the things that go along with a marching band uniform. And based on the size of the band next year and in the years coming, hopefully it grows. I don't want to be in a situation where we buy, you know, say 60 of them, and then in 4 years we need 80 or 90 of them. Not a bad problem to have, but looking at about, if I remember correctly, I meant to look at the number before I came down here. I think it's about 60,000 for the range of sizes and the amount of uniforms that we would need.
Yep, seems like a perfectly realistic price of what you expect. So the question would be, where you get the money from? Will it be fundraisers, things like that?
Sure. So thankfully, again, going back to the supportive administration here, the school puts aside a couple thousand dollars, I think, every year into a marching band uniform fund and just lets it grow. So that in combination with the Cardinal Music Boosters fundraisers, things like Addicted to Music, our flower fundraiser, I think we're running a blanket fundraiser still right now, things like that. Those two funds combined will help to pay for that. The Music Boosters also, speaking of the Disney trip, paid for the buses. So they fundraised over the last couple of years. And that took a substantial amount of money off of the fee that the kids and ultimately the parents pay for that trip. So, yeah, they do some great work.
Well, and things like that, I'm sure, are often the difference, you know, between some kids getting to go and others who just can't do that.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm
sure you've noticed, as I am, frustratingly so, the price of everything seems to be going up these days. That'll impact your budget.
Definitely.
A lot of fun. But I'm glad you all got to do that. That's, memories of a lifetime to get to go to Disney.
Yeah.
You know, and you're absolutely right about Orlando. At least you weren't there in the actual summer.
Right. Yeah. Definitely.
Could be. Yeah. So, listen, Stephen, we want to say thank you for coming. We appreciate it. And like I said, a good first year for you. I've heard great things about you.
Oh, so, I appreciate it.
All right. We're going to take a break. And I want to welcome. It is Back to School at New Bremen. Kevin Sandler here. Thank you to Lockwood Theater, Elmwood Assisted Living. We want to thank Minster Bank, Calp Pharmacy, and Speedway Lanes as we're with Brian Putoff talking about technology. And Brian, welcome back. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you. Glad to be back.
Share with us now, how many years for you technology is this now?
Wow. For me, it's 16 years here at New Bremen, 26 years in education, and a couple years and earlier in my career in private business. So about 28 years in technology.
In technology. I can only imagine how it's changed over that time. But even over the last few years, would people be surprised at how things have changed?
I think that people would be very surprised, or maybe not. We kind of see it out in the world now. AI is a huge thing that's kind of going across the planet. So we see that here in schools as well. But you are absolutely right. I'm not sure that the seniors realize that the iPhone was invented the year they were born. So it's really, in that amount of time, we think about what we do with technology. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, they don't remember a world without this stuff.
That's exactly right.
And they look at us funny when we tell them about some of the things
we need their help too, right?
We always need their help, yes.
That's right.
So the kids here, it's Chromebooks still, right?
That's correct. We still have Chromebooks. We're a one-to-one district, so we have Chromebooks actually in grades 1 through 12. Kindergarten use iPads. They are one-to-one, but with iPads, it's just a little easier for their small hands to use an always touchscreen tablet.
People might hear that and say, wow, that's different than the school that we grew up with. But in a sense, I imagine that that is their textbook. And that is, in some cases, their library or research, right?
Absolutely. It certainly can be. We do have some classes that the curriculum is on the Chromebook exclusively, like some of our math classes. But, you know, we do, we're very good about, or the teachers are very good about using a hybrid system, especially in lower grades where we still do a lot of paper and pencil, which is good. But then also resources and tools that we can use in technology, similar to what we all do in our regular professional lives.
All right. Now, for you, for technology, I'm sure a lot of it might come down to maintenance and repair, right, when there are problems.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we obviously, technology isn't bulletproof, so we do have lots of problems. And you have to remember, we also work with students, so sometimes we get a few breaks here and there, but we do a lot of that. I am actually a fortunate here at New Bremen, and I have somebody that helps me half a day. Mr. Williams is a math teacher, and I think he's going to be speaking with you, or maybe already has, about FCA, but he also helps me out with a lot of Chromebook repair, and I appreciate
tomorrow.
That. Tomorrow, yeah. Tomorrow, so yeah. He's and he's really good at that, too, so that's great.
Excellent. And so, you know, what some of the things that can happen, I imagine anything from a student's individual computer goes down, right?
Yep, absolutely. So we, you know, anything from a screen break to maybe they pop off a key or we also have where, you know, we're not even sure what happens. You know, maybe the Wi-Fi goes out or weren't. And then we have to fix a myriad of all kinds of problems for that. So,
do you sometimes have contingency plans? For example, if you realize that they drop their computer, you're not going to get this going today right away. Is there a loaner they can have?
Yes, exactly right. We have loaner Chromebooks both in the elementary and then high school. So if we can't fix it right away, then we give them a loaner. And then a lot of times we can get a loaner back in within the same day. But sometimes, actually, some of the breaks – they're complicated enough that we'll send them into a repair shop and get them back, in which case that's a couple weeks. So we'll have that loaner for a couple weeks then.
Yeah, we keep them going. And then also, you know, we talk about like the Wi-Fi goes down. I'm sure in some cases you can tweak it and do whatever. Other times, if it's from the provider, there's probably not much you can do, is there?
Yeah, it's not very often, but actually our Wi-Fi here is really robust and really good. If our Wi-Fi goes down, it's generally a problem outside of our network. And I want to knock on wood here and don't jinx myself here. But a lot of times, you know, our ISP maybe has problems. We've actually had a backhoe cut a line on us before. But we've also had our share of problems with networking equipment go down. And then it kind of everyone kind of goes into a panic because what do we do now without this technology
right.
that we're used to?
I was going to also add that you know, that you probably, again, you know, talk about what do you do if there's not internet today, right? At least be prepared, right, for that.
Absolutely. And actually, our teachers do a great job with that. I mean, we still can teach. Everyone still knows how to teach without the technology in their hands. And really, like I said earlier, New Bremen's pretty good at a hybrid model. I mean, a lot of what we do here isn't always on the technology. It's not always on screens. It's less than what we're talking about one-to-one, but it's probably less than you think. We do use it as a tool, but a lot of what we do, it's education is still works the same way it always has. And so these are tools, but they're not the end all answer to everything.
True. And you know, as we look at, you know, at technology or even, you know, at, security, really, right? I mean, for one thing, some parents might be concerned. They think, well, I don't know about, you know, my first grader being on the internet and all that, but probably no better place you can be than at a school, right?
Yeah.
You got it filtered and, you know.
Absolutely. That's a good point. We do run internet filters for everybody in the staff and students. So we try to do the best we can at filtering out everything that we shouldn't, that students shouldn't see. And our filters are pretty good. And then we also spend a lot of time, or I spend a lot of time with cybersecurity. It's kind of a big deal or kind of a big thing. And it is for everybody. So everyone does this. But, you know, we make sure there's always bad actors trying to get in. They're trying to steal identities. They're trying to hack in, encrypt our data or whatever. So I spend a fair amount of time working on just cybersecurity to keep everyone's data safe.
And people can look this up for themselves. There have been terrible stories of students, schools, I mean, who had issues with their HVAC because they got hacked.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And we, like I said, and even that part is part of our cybersecurity plan on how we handle that. And I have some tools in my tool chest that I use to monitor those things. And we can hopefully see things as they're happening And again, knock on wood, never go down that, or never get hacked to the that degree.
I'm sure you talk to students and even teachers about be careful with some of these emails you might get. They act like they know you, or you think it comes from somebody that is a teacher or a colleague, and it's not them.
And that's exactly right. And I'll tell you what, Kevin, it is amazing how well these bad actors can make an email look like they're coming from a legitimate company that you would trust, that you would expect to get emails from. And these things do happen, and I have teachers that question these emails, which is good. That's great that they question them. I want them to question it, and hopefully I can advise them in the right way, and we can continue to kind of be safe.
I had something today, and they get you on social media. I got a message from somebody that I never talked to, and how's your family? And I'm like, okay, why? And next thing I know, I hear, have you heard about cryptocurrency? I'm like, all right, let's hit the block button and move on here, because it wasn't who the person was claiming to be. They got hacked.
That's exactly right. I actually had a staff member today question an email about a flight from Delta Airlines that was canceled. Now, that fortunately they didn't have a trip scheduled, which they said they wish they did. But quite honestly, if you did have a trip scheduled and that was your airline, it looks legitimate. So everyone just has to really pay attention and do the best they can to make sure they're being safe.
And I think another thing too is an email or a message is never a reason to panic. you just got to take a moment and think about that. Some of the ones that claim to come from banks.
It can come from everybody.
And I had one, it looked really good. They had my name and everything and the bank logo. And the only problem was I had never done business with that bank in my life. So I wasn't going to be fooled. But for somebody who had, I can see where it might take them a moment to go, wait a minute, am I in trouble? What's going on here?
Right. Actually, the best one I've seen, and this one is really hard to see. It looks like the email was coming from Microsoft.com, and we use Microsoft products. But Microsoft was spelled RN, like a lowercase R and then a lowercase N. Well, those two letters right next to each other look like an M.
And that's right.
That was a really tough one to see. So again, we just have, and we do a lot of training, Kevin. We do cybersecurity training with our staff every year, and our teachers are always trying to help our students go through or help them through this process. So it's a robust plan.
You know, for the kid, we all have one who loves to be on the computer all the time. Yep. and all that. I'm sure you can explain, you can parlay that into a nice career, can't you?
Absolutely, and we do have kids that are interested. And if a student wants to do this type of work, and especially cybersecurity work, there are lots of jobs out there right now. These are the types of people that we need right now in the world to help protect our data. So those are always good avenues for students.
Yeah, why not, right? I mean, exactly. I think it's only going to get bigger.
Certainly is, and we do have a group of kids that are really good at these types of things. Actually, I think on Friday you're talking with Mr. Hartman about some of the classes he does and coding and stuff like that. Some of those students are, I'm sure, are interested, and these are they're great opportunities for them.
It's amazing what they're doing now, right?
It's truly amazing.
Amazing how they do that. And also fun, I think, to look back on how we got to this point. Like some of the stuff that we grew up with that we thought was a big deal. Well, it all led to this, didn't it?
Well, I think 28 years ago when I started in this business, the things that I was doing 28 years ago to help customers or clients, work through their technology issues, now some of that stuff seems crazy because of how advanced technology has become. And some of the things that were super difficult to do are now really easy or even non-existent to do. But that just means that technology is involved and we have a new set of problems and a new set of things that we need to look at.
I can remember at work when we briefly talked about whether or not we needed a dedicated phone line so we could, stay connected to the internet as opposed to having to actually connect.
Yeah.
Right. Every time you
fire up the remember the modem computer. Sounds too.
The when modem you, sound yeah. and little things like you wanted to read a website, you'd go to load it in and figure, okay, well, I'll go make breakfast while this loads
I'll
in.
Have a snack while this loads in. Yeah.
And I remember the first time I ever used it was DSL. I think it was, and it loaded up immediately. Yeah. That was amazing.
That was amazing. I remember when if you needed software for maybe a piece of hardware in your computer, you had to mail away for that. Oh. And it was sent on a disk, you know, like a floppy disk. And now we download it in seconds.
Yeah.
And
not like the original Netflix idea.
Yeah, right. Yes, I used to get those.
I did too. Yeah. So, and I know kids are listening to us going, God, those guys are old.
The students here know that I'm very old, so that's okay.
That's okay. Yeah. We're vintage.
That's it.
We're
antique. There you go, vintage, yeah.
But it's neat, though, to think about what might be next. Because before the higher speed internet came along, I wondered what it was ever going to be because I thought it's too slow.
You know what? And you bring up a great point. I mean, what we could never imagine what our, like, for example, what my grandchildren might see in school, because I can't believe some of the things that we can do now in terms of what AI can do for us and some of the paths and programming that, you know, writing apps and smartphones. I mean, that's just amazing. The prompts, exactly. Yes. So I couldn't have even thought 5 years ago this is what we would be doing. So I can't imagine what it's going to look like 30 years from now.
Imagine that. Yeah, yes. Exactly. Well, and I think one thing we can certainly agree on, this technology is just going to get better and different. But no matter what, vinyl records will always be cool.
You're absolutely
always
right.
Always cool.
Always cool. I used to have a vinyl record collection. I don't have a player anymore. I still have some vinyl records. I really need to take the time.
And they're not that much money.
No, not anymore.
Go get yourself a nice record.
There was a few years there where you couldn't even get a vinyl record player anymore. But they're coming back. They're making a comeback.
They are. And in fact, I'll keep their identity secret. I won't say which one of my kids did this, but the first time I showed them a record, the first thing I heard was, "That doesn't fit in the computer, Dad."
that's exactly right. But they sound better. Right?
They sound better. And the interesting thing to them was that you could get music playing without a computer.
Without a computer, yeah. Who would have thought?
So
right?
Who would have thought that? Yeah, so
exactly.
I'll tell you what, Brian. Good to see you again. We appreciate
you
it.
You too. Thank
sure
you
we'll
for having me.
See
us.
You in a couple of years
Absolutely.
And talk about the good old days when we used to use Chromebooks or whatever.
Exactly, yeah,
something
that's a great idea.
Where we're headed. So we're going to take a break. We're back to school in New Bremen. Thank you to our wonderful sponsors, including Kalb Pharmacy, Elmwood Assisted Living, Nitro Roofing, and the Minster Bank. And so today, it's all about the flock. Shannon Heckman's here, School Spirit Support Group with Mary Rindler and Julie Tangeman. And first of all, Shannon, thanks for coming. Good to see you.
Thank you.
So talk with us, if you would, a bit about what the flock is and what people are going to learn from this.
Sure. So the flock is basically, if you look up in the stands at any of our sporting events and you see our group of students that that are representing New Bremen, that's the flock. That's what we call our student section. So several years ago, we have a class called Greenbelt. It's a process improvement or problem solving class. And one of the things that a group wanted to tackle was, how do we increase student support for each other? And so they looked at a bunch of different things. And one of the things that they did is interviewed people at, I think it's called, I'm not a UD fan, but I think it was the Red Scare at UD. They reached out to them. They talked to them. They liked what they did for their fans. And we kind of took a lot of bits and pieces of that and did different things to get our students involved. And we've reached out to, we've shown up at band events and theater events. And so that's what the flock is. It's not just our sporting events, but it's all of the events at the school where the kids can support each other.
All right. So let's talk with our students about this and, you know, share with us, what we'll do is for each of you, we'll have to give your name and your grade so everybody knows who we're talking to. And just share with us a bit about your perspective on that.
My name is Mary Rindler. I'm a senior here at New Bremen.
Okay. And
my name is Julia Tangeman, and I'm a junior here at New Bremen.
All right. So share with us how you got involved with this and what are the things you've gotten to do.
I became involved with this because I really enjoy dressing up for the spirit wear at the sporting games, and I enjoyed making themes this year with the flock.
I kind of got involved my freshman year whenever the leadership applications went out. I was like, well, this would be a great opportunity to kind of lead. And I really like going to the sporting events and being a part of something bigger than ourselves and like supporting my classmates both in school and out of school.
Can you talk to us about some of the themes that you've had and some of the ways you've dressed up?
Yeah, so this all started even before school. The senior officers all met at our coffee shop and we picked out themes, and then the themes all went onto a Google Forms and was sent out to students to kind of decide what they would wear, what they would prefer to wear, just to increase that activity, I guess, with the dressing up.
And so let's talk about, you know, when you do dress up, I'm sure that there's pretty much, is there like a cardinal theme to it, or at least, you know, kind of getting the school's colors in there?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that we call that theme Cardinal Crazy, and everybody goes all out with their Cardinal colors, especially against our rivals, Minster.
That's right. Well, that's serious business. People know that, right? That's the one where perhaps at least for a week or so, some people and some families, they don't talk to each other much that week, do they, right?
Yeah,
very true. So that's a lot of fun because I'm sure, you know, it adds to it, right? It makes the fans, you know, that extra person, right? That's in the game, so to speak, right? Outstanding. You know, I know we don't have too much time left for this school year, but what are some things you might have left to do before, you know, the school year comes to an end?
I think before the school year, we're really going to focus on, like, track meets and, like, getting people there because I know sometimes, like, it's hard, like, because track isn't, like, just, like, a one-time thing. There's so many events happening all at once. So between, like, the track, the baseball, and the softball, like, going there and doing those type of events. And then we're also kind of starting to plan for next year. Like, what do we want the football themes to be? What do we want the volleyball themes to be? And, like, how can we support the band throughout their marching band performances, especially during the football halftimes?
That's true, because, I mean, even the band needs fans too, right? Yeah. There you go. Excellent. For the two of you, you know, when your school career comes to an end, have you thought about what might be next for you, like someday for a career?
I am planning on working in a lab in the hospital setting. So having this group of people to help organize things really helps with communication skills and leadership, especially in that work field.
I'm looking into ag business, so I think being able to, like, talk to people, be yourself, and, like, going out and being sociable with other people, and even just, like, supporting others in general, like, that just ties back into so many ways of life.
Outstanding. Appreciate getting to talk with you. Let's talk with Shannon to kind of wrap things up. You know, share with us, if you would, you know, a bit about your own background, where you came from originally, and what got you into education.
I kind of took a back door into education when we moved back to New Bremen, which is home for my husband and I. I took a part-time job here at the school, and I really enjoyed working with students. So I went back and got my master's in education. So here I am.
Yeah. Outstanding. Yeah. And I'm sure even when you were part-time, you probably had a lot of fondness for Bremen right away, right?
I did. I grew up here. I love the community. I love the school. I love everything that it represents. And these girls are being humble. They're really, really active members in the flock. They are great representations of New Bremen. They help rally all of the people that aren't sure if they're going to make it to a game. So, and then when they are players, everybody's there to support them as well. So it's fun to see that full circle of what you felt when you were a kid and then working in the system and seeing kids do the same thing for each other.
I thought about also some of the changes you've probably seen in your career, whether it was like new buildings, for example, and various other improvements.
Oh, for sure. I did not graduate from this building. I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but I did not graduate from this current building.
Yeah, that's all right, though, right? I mean, because I'm sure you're happy for them, right?
Absolutely.
When you think about, like, what they have now, right, whether it's the climate control or the new technology, you know?
Well, the tech is huge because even the way that they communicate to all of the other students is via their Instagram page. So the flock is constantly getting the message out and posting about different things that are happening at our events. And so the kids follow that. We did not have that when I was in school, and so it's really cool to see how they can communicate with each other.
That's pretty neat, and it makes you wonder what might be next, right?
Absolutely.
So what about that? People want to follow the flock. They should go on Instagram and check it out. Is that's where to find you now, right?
Yes, it's on Instagram, and I'm pretty sure it's, like, at the Cardinal Flock. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's where all of our social media, like, themes, even if, like, there's a theme change or, like, what time the game starts, that's where you can all find out all of that information.
True. And, you know, for people that want to come out and support the players, I mean, it's probably reasonable to think it might be one of their siblings in the game, right? Might be certainly a good friend or something like that. So it's, in a sense, certainly is not just a game, right?
Correct. I have multiple friends in sports. I love watching them succeed in their sports, especially at cross country. I'll get all dressed up in my Cardinal Crazy clothes just to not to embarrass them, but to support them as I cheer them on.
Yeah, that's right. And they can tell the other team, hey, we got fans here, you know, we're ready to represent our school and have a great time. And I'm sure your teacher would agree too that, you know, time goes quickly and this is the kind of stuff you want to do because you might be like a freshman or something. And then the next thing you know, you're like, how did I get to be a senior already?
Absolutely. Right?
It goes so fast.
Julia just said that. Yeah.
Yeah. How'd that happen?
It goes fast.
It does go fast. So you want to kind of do all that stuff that you know, that you can. Listen, I want to thank all of you for coming today. I want to thank all of our guests, which included Diane Kramer and Diana Kramer. And then we also had Corey Stevens talking boys basketball and boys golf. And we talked about the yearbook, band activities with Mr. Monith, Mr. Putoff with technology. And, of course, we just talked with the flock. Now, tomorrow we'll be back. We're going to talk about, for some teachers, their first year of teaching. Mr. Wells will be here, athletic department. Mary Williams will be here, and fun thing, it's always a pleasure to catch up with Mary talking about the cafeteria, because I like hearing how they somehow manage to feed so many students every day. Like, what actually goes into that? And of course, if Mary's going to be here, Chad's not far behind. He'll be here to talk about the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Then we're going to talk with some second grade teachers, and then